With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me as always is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm fine.
Yes.
How are you? How was your weekend?
It was great.
You went to a little concert.
I did. You want me to save it or do you want me to tell the people now?
Katie went to, who'd you see?
I saw Coldplay, which anybody who listens knows that I love Coldplay. So,
we'll hear all about that.
Yeah,
in just
it was terrible.
It was terrible. They were totally off their game. Well, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about all things Coldplay and the week's big pop news, fun chart stats and stories, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. This week on the show, we've got an interview with pop star Jason Derulo.
Jason Derulo.
He called in to discuss his new Greatest Hits album, his video for his new single, Kiss the Sky, and how you'll be seeing him acting on TV a whole lot more in the future, evidently.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for that. Plus, we'll be talking about our brand new number one single on the Billboard Hot 100, The Chainsmokers' Closer, featuring Halsey, jets back to number one. It doesn't jet back to number one. It just jets there. It just jets there. And giving both acts their first number one. Plus, the Suicide Squad soundtrack spins a second week at number one on the Billboard 200. But will it be number one for a third week? Not if Frank Ocean has anything to say about it, as his new Blonde album is gunning to debut in the top slot. Plus, we'll be talking about Katie's trip, as we said, to see Coldplay, a wrap-up of the Hot 100 Festival that was in Jones Beach this past weekend, and a preview of the MTV Video Music Awards. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss a single episode, and give us a rating or review while you're at it. And if you have any questions for us, feel free to tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or K.T. Atkinson. That's the letters K and the letter T and then Atkinson. A-T-K-I-N-S-O-N. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcast. We have a brand new podcast, too.
We do.
Yeah.
Our office mate, Griselda, has a new Latin Connection podcast with our Latin editor, Leila Cobo.
Yeah. So if you want to get more Billboard podcasts into your life, go check them out. And Griselda and Leila are lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And you may have actually seen Leila on TV before, because she, for a while, hosted a TV show on PBS that covered Latin music.
I didn't even know this. That's amazing.
Yeah. So, you know. You know. Well, Katie, it's been a busy weekend. You went and saw Coldplay.
Yes.
Britney's album, Glory, leaked.
Yes.
Frank Ocean dropped a book, an album, a long-form video. Lou Pearlman died on Friday night.
It was a very... in addition to the Billboard Hot 100 Festival.
And the Hot 100 Festival.
It's been an insane weekend for Billboard news in general.
A lot of new stuff.
Yes.
Just sort of briefly, I mentioned in there that Britney's album, Glory, which comes out for real this Friday.
For reals.
For reals. Leaked over the weekend. And I tend to follow a lot of Britney stans.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are saying how this is a great album.
Oh yeah,
I'll believe it when I actually hear the non-leaked version.
I'm not a leak consumer, so I have yet to listen.
I haven't listened to it either, and I want to listen to what is supposed to be the authorized version.
But I've also seen the very positive feedback.
Though, you know, those are stands, so...
That's fair.
Anything's possible. And Lou Pearlman, the Pop Svengali, who most people are familiar with as being the guy who kind of helped form NSYNC and Backstreet Boys.
Yep, and if you watched Making the Band back in the day when O-Town got put together, that's probably like his most screen time, you know, on that show. So.
Papa Lou. Papa Lou.
And there were a lot of conflicted reactions online from his many artists.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake, Lance Bass, Ashley Parker Angel from O-Town.
All things considered, they were kind. They were very much like, no one wants anybody to die. You know, like, I hope he had peace when he died.
Yeah, that was Justin's. Like, he said something like,
Lance said something along the lines of, like, you know, we might have had a conflicted history, but I'm sad to hear of his death.
Yeah, and if you guys don't know who Lou Pearlman is, basically... in the early 90s, he basically started pouring money into forming boy bands and pop groups. And the first group that he assembled was Backstreet Boys, took them on the road. They got popular in Germany, brought them to America. They started to get huge. Then he went and made NSYNC and
followed the same kind of exact playbook, took them to Europe, got them big there, and then they came over here.
Both acts ended up filing suit against him and entered into months and months of legal wrangling because they were not happy with how their contracts were drawn up.
Yes, what I saw today was that Brian Luttrell of Backstreet was the one who kind of spearheaded the lawsuit, and it was in his name. And it said that from like 93 to 97, when they were touring in Europe and first coming over here, that they each made only $12,000 or something like that.
Yeah,
something ludicrous.
Lance said when the NSYNC kids got their first sort of big check at the end of 97, I think, maybe 98, they were like, oh, how big is it going to be? We're so excited. It's going to be a huge check because... Like, I Want You Back was selling big. Mm-hmm. The self-titled album from NSYNC was huge. And I guess it was a $25,000 check that each of them got. And that cascading effect, and Lou Pearlman basically cut ties with NSYNC and Backstreet. But he continued to stay in the pop business with other acts like O-Town and LFO and some others. Eventually, though, ended up in prison because of an elaborate Ponzi scheme where he basically ripped off lots of people.
He said he had a fleet of like 40 private jets and didn't even own one, and just was taking people's money as investments and doing nothing with it.
Ended up in prison, died at 62 last Friday.
Cardiac arrest.
So there you go. But, you know, had it not been for Lou Pearlman, we may not have ever had NSYNC or Backstreet or what we got from, you know, Justin and Justin Timberlake. So anyway, and then amongst all this, Frank Ocean decides to drop an album. And a book and a magazine, and so much stuff happened this weekend. We'll be talking about Frank in a second, but I want to hear about Coldplay because love Coldplay so much. And this concert was, where was this show at?
It was at the Rose Bowl.
So enormous venue.
Huge. And, you know, as Coldplay is wont to do, it was very like high production value, lots of lights and confetti and lasers and just everything. And one of the things that happened was when you walked into the venue, they gave you an LED bracelet. Oh. And actually, I think they did the same thing on the American Music Awards performance that they did last year. And everyone in the crowd had a light up bracelet. And so they would change colors and pulsate depending on the song. It was crazy. So that just like the visual effect of that, everybody in the audience was part of the like light show. It
That's
was
so cool.
Crazy. And
you keep it, or did you have to give it back at the end?
You get handed it in, but like it's controlled by them, so it's not gonna do anything fun after. I saw a lot of people walking out with them actually, and I'm like, what are you gonna do with that?
It's a memento.
Right. James Corden actually came out and was part of the Prince tribute that they did. They performed Nothing Compares to You, him and Chris, as a duet. And it was lovely, and James's voice is amazing. And
maybe that'll chart next week.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
Could be on our Twitter real-time charts.
And Monday is actually James Corden's birthday, so we all sang happy birthday to him as well.
This past Monday?
No, as in like
today.
Monday now, yes.
Now when we're recording this.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, so well,
it sounds like you had a lovely time.
And I dragged my husband along, and I think that he—I mean, it was a bit of a dragging, but once he got there, he'd never seen a show like this before. Like, he had never seen a production like that, and was totally blown away by it. So I'm glad I dragged him.
Yeah,
yeah.
Seeing a concert at a big stadium like that is always an interesting proposition, no matter who it is, because you're committing. Basically a whole kind of day.
Half a day at least, yeah. So, and like, actually, Chris Martin joked about the traffic at the Rose Bowl, which is infamous, and said, you know, I love Justin Bieber, but would I wait in a two-hour traffic jam for him? I don't know. It was really great.
Oh, that's at least, you know, it's good-humored about that. let's talk about the Hot 100.
Yes.
Where, by the way, Coldplay jumps back in the top 40 this week with Him for the Weekend.
Yes, you informed me of that. They went from 41 to 35 this week.
But up at the top of the chart, Closer by the Chainsmokers featuring Halsey vaults from number 6 to number 1, marking the first number 1 for both acts. As Gary Trust, who manages the Hot 100 and also is the other co-director of charts, notes in his online story, this is the 1,057th number one hit in the 58-year history of the Billboard Hot 100.
Wow.
And notably, the song is up across the board in sales, streams, and airplay. I mean, it's a huge gainer this week. And this is only its third week on the chart, I believe. The song, and also the song is only really getting started in airplay. So if the radio support continues to build, we could actually see the song hold on at number one for a couple weeks. The song rises 3-1 on the streaming songs chart, rebounds 3-1 on the digital songs chart, selling 116,000 downloads, up from just 81,000 last week. I say just, I mean, not just. And it climbs 35-19 on the radio songs airplay chart. And that's where I was saying earlier how it's still building an airplay. The fact that it can still have weeks and weeks before it hits like the top five or number one on the radio chart, it could be one of those things where as the sales taper off, the airplay picks up and makes up for the lack of sales and keeps the song at number one, which is kind of what happened with One Dance with Drake. Started off as a huge sort of streaming and sales hit, and then radio, which is always late to the party, finally caught up. As for the rest of the Hot 100's top 10, last week's number one, Sia's Cheap Thrills, slips to number two, while most of the rest of the top 10 is pretty static. It's not a terribly interesting chart outside of number one.
I mean, that number one is, we all were kind of like, whoa, that really, like, catapulted.
I know, when I saw it, we were looking at some preliminary data over the weekend, I was like, is this gonna hold? Is this happening? Is this it? And
I feel like Chainsmokers and Halsey are probably saying the same thing.
They're like, what?
What? Us?
Really? Me? Who? They probably are.
Seriously.
I think Halsey certainly. I don't know what the Chainsmokers sort of disposition
is. They clearly have been on a trajectory, like, to say the least. Like, the three top 10 songs, now their first number one. It's been a gigantic year for them, to say the least.
Over on the Billboard 200 albums chart, the Suicide Squad soundtrack scores a second week at number one, earning 93,000 equivalent album units in its second week, of which 50,000 were in pure album sales. Of course, all these numbers are according to Nielsen Music, as they always are. That makes Suicide Squad the first soundtrack with more than 1 week at number one since Guardians of the Galaxy notched a pair of weeks atop the list back in 2014. Since then, we've had single-week leaders from Pitch Perfect 2, Descendants, Furious 7, and the first Empire TV soundtrack. I was also noting how, and I wrote this in an online story, this isn't in our notes, I was saying how it's unusual for a soundtrack to debut at number one and then spend a second week at number one.
Right.
Usually soundtracks, especially kind of in the 90s and the early 2000s, would start lower and move up.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, soundtracks that we think of that were, like, huge multi-week things at number one, like Titanic and Frozen.
The Bodyguard?
They all did not debut at number one.
Oh, right. Okay.
They moved to number one later. Mm. As, like, usually these soundtracks would come out like a couple weeks before the movie came out.
Yeah.
And then once the movie came out, it's like, blah!
Now it feels like they're really always timed with the movie release.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how our mindset goes now, too. Like, something debuting like, you know, often is the biggest week for it.
And because now we have global street date, you know, Fridays mm-hmm. are the release dates for albums, which
it
is the same day as box
Look at
office.
That. It's like somebody figured it out.
The synergy worked out perfectly. Well, will Suicide Squad hold on for a third week at number one?
Probably not.
Probably not. Frank Ocean's new Blonde album, which we talked a little bit about already, it dropped exclusively through Apple Music and the iTunes Store last Saturday, August 20th. It's Frank's second album. And it's heading for number one, according to industry forecasters. Those prognosticators suggest the set could finish the week with over 225,000 equivalent album units, which should easily give Ocean his first number one. His debut album, Channel Orange, debuted and peaked at number two back in 2012.
And because I'm a regular Keith Caulfield reader, I know what it was behind when it debuted.
What was it behind?
It was behind Zac Brown Band, yeah. actually, which was also in its first week.
Yeah, they both debuted. Well, and also, that what's notable about Channel Orange is that when the album came out, it wasn't supposed to come out that week.
That's right. It came early after a leak. Yep.
Like, well, I think, I'm not even sure if it was a leak. Maybe it was. Like, I know he performed on, like, Fallon or something. Mm. And then after the performance, they're like, and the album's out right now.
Oh, man.
And everyone's like, what?
See, that used to be crazy. And now it's like totally expected. Yeah. Now I'm like, oh, of course there's an album here.
He pulled a Beyonce light before Beyonce even happened.
Beyonce light.
Well, we have that to look forward to. Make sure to stay tuned to Billboard.com this weekend and also throughout the week, because from what we're hearing, this album is shaping up to be a very sexy seller on iTunes. And it's also streaming like mad as well. So stay tuned to Billboard.com throughout the week. And of course, come back to Billboard.com this Sunday, if you're listening in real time this week or close to real time, mm-hmm. when we'll have our story announcing the new number one and probably with Frank Ocean in the headline. Moving on, Billboard Hot 100 Festival. Katie and I were not there.
Boo.
But we heard all about it.
Well, and
boo.
I follow a lot of our coworkers on various forms of social media. So I feel like I was there.
Yeah, I follow.
There's a lot of posting.
Yeah, if you follow Billboard on social media, you were completely aware of what was happening.
They did a lot of good stuff. And actually, Snapchat was crazy. And did you see the Ariana Grande Snapchat that we got?
No, she did a Snapchat for us?
Yeah, like a photo with one of those like crazy face filters. The one that smushes your face together. You need to see it.
Did she put it on our Snapchat channel?
Yeah, and then we posted it, I want to say. Yeah, it was on the Billboard Snapchat. So now it's probably long gone because it's Tuesday. But but if you go to, I think, our Instagram account, we posted the photo as well.
Well, Ariana was the big headliner on Saturday night. Well, one of a number of headliners. Mm-hmm. But I believe she closed out Saturday night's show. Mm-hmm. On Sunday night, Calvin Harris closed out the show with a huge light show and the whole shebang.
Yeah.
The proper Calvin Harris setup that you expect. From everything that I've heard, it was a wham bam thank you ma'am success.
I don't know about the thank you ma'am part, but yeah.
Wham bam thank you ma'am. Anyway. yeah. So yeah, Hot 100 Festival, another year gone by. We look forward to another festival a year from now. Maybe we'll
bring us out. I was going to say bring us out next year.
Fly us out next time. But after one huge pop music filled weekend, we've got another one coming up. The MTV Video Music Awards are this Sunday, August 28th. And it'll be happening at Madison Square Garden in New York. It's the first time it hasn't happened in LA in a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, it used to be in New York a lot more regularly, but it's been maybe 4 or 5 years because it was at Barclays when Barclays first opened, Barclays Center.
Oh, that's right. So it
was
there.
Yeah, that was the last time it was in New York.
I think that was like, I want to say it's like maybe 2 or 3 years ago. But otherwise, for like the past like 5 or 6 years, it's been here.
Yeah.
Because I know that partly because in the past 5 or 6 years, you and I have basically covered it every year, and we're not covering it this year. So we've got a Sunday free.
Yes, I'll definitely be. We're still kind of covering it from afar, etc. It's kind of weird to not be going or involved this year. Actually, yeah.
Well, performers on the show so far, and of course we're recording this on Monday as we always do. Performers so far on the show include Britney Spears, Rihanna, Nick Jonas, and Future. Of course, they will probably add at least another 3 or 4 performers, as is the case with the VMAs, and maybe some people that they haven't announced.
And Rihanna's getting the Video Vanguard Award.
The Michael Jackson Video Vanguard
Award.
And
so we can probably expect sort of a career-spanning, you know, set from her, because that's what Justin did. That's what Beyonce did.
True.
When they got the same award. So looking forward to that.
Does that mean she'll bring out Calvin Harris and Jay-Z and Drake?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, she's had so many incredible, like, features on all of her music and been featured on so many other people's music. That'd be interesting, but...
Tune in!
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think now it's time, perhaps, Katie, for our interview with Jason Derulo.
Yes, I got on the phone with Mr. Jason Derulo. He has a lot going on right now. He actually released a Greatest Hits album last month. One of the first questions I had to ask is, like, you're so young and you've only been doing this for like 6 years. How do you possibly have a Greatest Hits album? But you look at that track list and you know every single song. Like, he has.
Yeah, the album's called Platinum Hits.
It's literally all of his songs that went platinum. Yeah. So it's full of hits, and it also includes a new song called Kiss the Sky. Just released a very joyous music video from that. So I talked to him about filming that video and kind of how it matches up with the song. And then he's got some things on the horizon. He's wrapping up another season of So You Think You Can Dance right now. And another thing he's doing with Fox is doing a cameo on the new show Lethal Weapon. And so we kind of talked about his acting future as well.
Hmm.
So here is our conversation with Jason Derulo.
Jason, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop podcast. Thanks for chatting with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Of course. You know, last week you actually performed in Dallas as part of the Bud Light Party convention, and I kind of was wondering, how did you get involved with that campaign, and how did the concert go?
Well, I heard about the biggest party going down in Dallas. So, you know, I'm always about a huge party, but also, you know, it's a huge musical aspect of the party, too, and, you know, I love music, so it's a perfect fit.
And you performed on the same stage as Brett Eldredge in Dallas. These concerts have all been pretty eclectic lineups. Did you get a chance to meet him, or did you already know him?
I didn't, unfortunately. But, you know, that's what makes these concerts great, though. You know, the fact that they're so different. And, you know, you have 13 of the, you know, some of the brightest stars coming together to go to this big party. So I think it's all around just good energy, you know, and I think people really need that right about now.
Absolutely. And speaking of good energy, you actually just released a video for your super upbeat, positive song, Kiss the Sky, and the video definitely matched that vibe. The video takes place at a resort, but all the workers get to join in on the party too, which was super cool. So what was it like making that video?
It was super cool. You know, just being able to play the character and even, you know, wear the same thing everybody else was wearing, you know, just like really, really dived in. I mean, it's about a worker, like, saying today's my last day, and I'm gonna go crazy, and then all the other workers seem like they're ready to quit too. You know, it's not a negative quit; it's a positive quit. Where, like, you know, after this, the next chapter is gonna be a beautiful chapter. So let's go out with a bang.
Absolutely, and you originally premiered the video through Instagram stories, which you were actually the first artist to do that. How did that kind of come about, and what has the fan reaction been to that?
You know, I'm always thinking about things to do that are left field, that are very different than what other people are doing. And I think releasing a video is a perfect opportunity to do that every single time. So me releasing, you know, videos like on Tinder and like, you know, different things like that is just always thinking of new and creative ways to get the video to the people. And of course, you know, they go on YouTube shortly after, but you know, I think it's cool. You know, people can always expect something brand new when I'm releasing the video.
Totally. I feel like a lot of people probably got to see it who might not have seen it otherwise. You know, maybe they're on Instagram, but they're not going to catch it on YouTube, so it makes sense.
For sure.
And Kiss the Sky is the one new song on your Platinum Hits collection, which came out in July. What's incredible about Platinum Hits is the fact that your debut album only came out 6 years ago in 2010, and you already have enough hits for a full greatest hits album. You know, in your wildest dreams when you started this career, did you imagine you'd already be putting out a greatest hits album like this early on?
I think it's incredible. You know, it's really, really, you know, something that humbles me, honestly. But I, you know, I didn't even think of it as a great hit. I was, you know, kind of just putting a compilation together. You know, I just wanted to put people's favorite, you know, a bunch of people's favorite songs together so they didn't have to flip through different albums. And then I kind of noticed that all of the songs were, you know, multi-platinum songs. So I was like, well, damn, let's call it the platinum hit. You know, and people are you know, taking it as the greatest hit, which is cool, which I think is, you know, amazing, because they are definitely, you know, songs that can be considered that for sure, all top tens and all platinums. You know, it's a test to the fans out there, man. They've been super supportive.
Yeah, and it's actually, because we're Billboard, we obviously are always paying attention to the charts, and it's only the third hits collection to hit the Billboard 200 albums chart this year, and one of the other ones is Paul McCartney, so you're in pretty good company there.
beautiful. That's amazing. Yes, now is a great time to celebrate, you know. That's how the Bud Light thing is so good, but, you know, because I got the Meghan Trainor song that I co-wrote, the Me Too song.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been a very action-packed couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, you always stay pretty busy. You also are a judge on So You Think You Can Dance, which is featuring dancers between the ages of 8 and 13 this season. So what has it been like to kind of judge and mentor these younger dancers this year?
Oh, it's been incredible. It's been incredible, and I think that the best part for me was shocking, you know, in the beginning. It was like, wow, like, I didn't know what to expect, you know, younger dancers, but they turned out to be incredible, and I don't know why I didn't know that, because, I mean, I see, you know, kid dancers all the time, and it's literally just a different time. You know, these kids are able to do things that are way different than when I was growing up, you know. And as time progresses, you know, we're just getting better and better, more talented, more athletic. You can see it with the Olympics. You know, how many people are just beating records all the time. You know, it's the same thing with dance. And, you know, shows like So You Think You Dance and Dance with the Stars, those kinds of shows, have kids starting super duper early. So, you know, it really is jaw-dropping to see what these kids can do.
Totally. And, you know, also on Fox, you're set to guest star on the new show Lethal Weapon in September playing a boxer. Have you already shot your scenes for that?
I did, which is a lot of fun, because I grew up as a boxer for a couple of years. My mom killed that dream, so it was fun to kind of get into character for a second, you know, and get that long lost dream for a second.
And, you know, you also cameoed on Empire. Do you kind of hope to do more acting work like that? That's pretty cool that you're, you know, exploring that too.
I do. So right now, it's, you know, doing like little things like that while I search for the correct part for me.
Right.
You know, like this is all cool and fun, but like when my real acting debut comes, it, you know, this has to be the correct role, because I went to college for acting. You know what I'm saying? I'm not the singer that is, you know, just gonna do acting because I'm a famous singer. You know, I really took this seriously, so I've waited this long, you know, and now that I'm ready, I have to just make sure that I'm getting into the right role for my first look.
Totally, and you know, not that you're not already doing enough, but what is next for you? Do you have any tour plans or new music on the horizon at all?
I do have both of those. new music coming very, very shortly. I have a huge collaboration coming very shortly. My shoe line, Level 13, is dropping in September. So I'm really excited about that.
So it never stops for Jason Derulo, basically.
Definitely not. There's a lot going on, but I'm excited, I'm blessed.
Absolutely, and we really appreciate you taking time out of that busy schedule to talk to us today. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Nice to talk to you, too.
Thank you so much to Jason for getting on the phone with us. He was delightful to speak with.
He's every time I've talked to him, he's been nothing but the perfect gentleman and so nice.
Yeah, it's like, it's no wonder that he's had all the success and more is totally deserved for him.
Let's get to our chart set of the week.
Yes.
This week in 1969, Johnny Cash's landmark Johnny Cash at San Quentin album became his first number one on the Billboard 200 chart. It was on the chart dated August 23rd, 1969. The live album spent 4 weeks atop the chart and went on to earn a Grammy Award nomination for Album of the Year. Now, Johnny Cash wouldn't rule the chart again in his lifetime. His only other number one was American 5, 100 Highways, which topped the July 22nd, 2006 chart nearly 3 years after his death. As a testament to his legacy and his popularity after his death, 4 out of his 6 top 10 charting albums have all occurred following his passing. He most recently hit the top 10 in 2014 with Out Among the Stars. One more San Quentin note, it also yielded Cash's biggest hit on the Billboard Hot 100 and his only top 10 on the list, the Shel Silverstein poem-turned-song, A Boy Named Sue. It reached number 2 for 3 weeks back in 1969. Bonus round! What song was it stuck behind? Now, this isn't really a proper quiz, Katie, because Katie has the answer in front of her.
Oh, I didn't even see that I had it. I was really starting to guess.
Nope.
I was going to go Beatles. I'm close.
You're close. we're not going to play a guessing game. It was actually the Rolling Stones' Honky Tonk Women. So some women blocked a boy from number one.
Hey-o.
Ew. This is what chart geeks live for. So there's your chart stat of the week. This week in 1969, Johnny Cash hit number one with Johnny Cash at San Quentin. All right, that's going to do it for us. Any parting words, Katie?
Man, can I go see Coldplay again?
Sure. We should go out on a Coldplay song.
Yes, let's do that.
What do you want to go out on?
Oh, man. I'm going to go with the song that they went out with. It's called Up and Up.
Up
from
and
the
up.
New album. Okay. And it's so positive and happy. It's perfect.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye. Get it together right now.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.